I'm going to let you remain seated, but let us together read the gospel. From Luke, the 14th chapter. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a banquet or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of our Lord. Let us sing the first two verses of Jesu. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When you give a banquet, what? Let's try that again. When you give a banquet, these are your holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. When I became his pastor 38 years ago, the company which he created and owned, Lock, Stock, and Barrel, employed 500 plus people, many of whom were engineers, designers, mechanical draftsmen, machinists, highly trained and skilled craftsmen of many kinds, with a national and international sales force. I have been to a dentist over the years, to many dentists, and I've never been yet in a dental office where I have not seen some of his equipment, including Petersburg. Listen closely now. Today, he employs over 600 people. And if the hourly wage is $15 an hour, an average, the salaries for his employees would total monthly $1,440,000. His monthly salary outlay for his employees, which I believe is ridiculously low. Factoring in the quality and skill set of his employees, realistically, it's probably double that, $2 to $3 million. In my 53 years as a pastor, he is far and away the wealthiest man. His dear wife recently died. He is far and away the wealthiest man ever to call me his pastor. I have no idea as to the size of this man's pocketbook. It's a number much larger than I can comprehend. He once told me of being invited to a banquet. It was held in Hawaii, hosted by a well-known television megachurch pastor, doing exactly what Jesus says in this text not to do. Doing exactly, this pastor, what Jesus said not to do. Inviting the wealthy to a banquet. Obviously identified and researched by this pastor's staff, my member and friend fit the criteria necessary to receive an invitation like this. The guest list was limited to those with great wealth, who were also known for their charitable reputations. In fact, this is not in my manuscript. Some of your kids are attending one of the universities where this man has built two huge buildings, one an engineering school and the other a business school. The prepared seating arrangement placed him at the head table, shoulder to shoulder, next to a man he didn't know, had never met, had never seen, the host, the pastor. He was no doubt the wealthiest of the wealthiest at that banquet. Or by some miscalculation, was thought to be the wealthy of the wealthy. And in the pastor's egotistical way of doing things, gave him supposedly the highest place of honor, rubbing elbow to elbow with the host. The pastor, one of America's best known mega churches. Jesus said, When you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the lame, invite the blind. I guess this pastor didn't know much about what Jesus said and what is recorded in the book of Luke. No one wins every game they play. Even the powerful sometimes lose. And lose he did, that mega church pastor, whose charisma in this instance failed miserably. My friend, with the ability to write a fat check, did not do so. And the pastor's setup didn't work this time. No schemed for mega bucks were received. Catering to the rich in hopes of repayment by the rich backfired. And my friend left the banquet with this story to tell me, his pastor. In contrast, a young man in my last parish in Beaverton was invited to a banquet, downtown Portland, hosted by the Union Gospel Mission. He wasn't invited to sit at the head table. There was no head table. He wasn't catered to because of his wealth. No one knew of his wealth. The fare was less than prime rib, probably macaroni and cheese on a paper plate. He wasn't served, but stood in line like the rest. He knew no one's name, and no one knew his. He was a stranger, yet he was welcomed. He mingled with other guests invited to the banquet. The poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. The homeless, the addict, the have-not, the forgotten. That's all it took. That's all it took. One banquet. Standing in line on the sidewalk outside of the building in the rain on Burnside, downtown Portland. That's all it took for his heart to melt. And for his paper plate to be filled. In a conversation with him just a year ago, he said, "Al, being blessed like my wife and I are is a great responsibility. I and my wife have so much, but one thing I don't have enough of, time. It's time that I don't have enough of. Time for me is so precious, and I don't have enough of it to do what my heart urges me to do. So what is that? I asked. What don't you have enough time for? What does your heart yearn to do? He said, I once went to a banquet down on Burnside, and now I am on the board of the Union Gospel Mission, and they want me to become the chairman of the board. But the demands of that position are so great that I just don't have time for it. And while I am honored to be asked, I don't think I can do it. Taken from their web page, their mission statement, I quote, "The purpose of Union Gospel Mission is feeding the hungry, restoring the addict, and loving our neighbor." Reading further, Union Gospel Mission provides over 200,000 meals per year to the homeless people in need. In addition to meals, Union Gospel Mission provides food boxes, a day room with coffee and snacks, clothing, hygiene items, referral services, an emergency cold weather shelter for the homeless. Reading further on the webpage, Union Gospel Mission is a Christ-centered recovery community. Our purpose is to transform lives, enabling freedom from addiction and destructive life patterns. End quote. Do you think I like this guy? Do you think I like this guy? I was his pastor. A Catholic Christian turned Christian Lutheran, whom the non-denominational board wants as their leader, their chairman. Do you think I like that guy? As a pastor, I've got to be careful not to choose favorites. But still I do. I can't help myself. He's one of them. He wasn't invited to sit at the head table. He wasn't catered to because of his wealth and his potential to be a major donor. He was only exposed to the less fortunate than he. That's all it took. That's all it took for his heart to melt. It was then that the love of Christ that was in his heart and his wife's, that moved them with compassion for Portland's downtrodden. With hearts filled with Christ's love for them, through them Christ's love overflows into the lives of the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, the homeless, the addict, the have-not, the forgotten. The megachurch so often tries to lure donors, in my opinion, to pad their own pews, to perpetuate their image, to pay their television bills, oftentimes becoming self-serving. Not always, but oftentimes, in contrast to places like the Union Gospel Mission, which you'll find virtually in every major city of our country. Google it if you don't think so. Where the mission is not to serve themselves, but to invite the poor to their banquets. And so the challenge for us today, if we take seriously this text, is to individually and corporately try to figure out the best way for us to carry out what Jesus is telling us to do in this text. How do we invite the poor, knowing that we'll never be repaid, but that our payment, as Jesus said, will come at the time of our resurrection? I haven't participated, but I know many of you have, in Monday night's banquet in Petersburg for the poor and for the hungry. And I commend you for doing so, for you are entertaining angels. You are doing Christ's work. Keep up the good work. I know also of your past and ongoing support of the Salvation Army, knowing that our support is helping to feed through them. We are helping the poor and the hungry as we support Salvation Army's ministry. Keep up the good work. I know also of our support of the poor and hungry through the support of Lutheran World Relief, the work that the quilters do, and more specifically, what you have done and continue to do for Maringi Sokoine Secondary School in Monduli, Tanzania. Keep up that good work. We also have a discretionary fund in our budget that the pastor is given to help those who call and need help, whether it's food or housing or whatever. I say to you, keep up the good work. In summary, we are doing something in the direction Jesus wants us to be doing something. Out of our blessings, inviting the poor to our banquets. Keep up the good work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this congregation and for its understanding of Jesus' concern that we be concerned about those who are not as blessed as we are. Help us to grow and to build that ministry. For it is in so doing that we are entertaining angels among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing the concluding verses of that hymn. Thank you.
Amen.